Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm lead pastor here at South Granville Church in beautiful Granville, Michigan. With me, as always, my co-host and friend Ben Netz.
Hey there.
And we are honored to have a special guest with us, our friend Kelly Vogel, who is a part-time staff person here at the church, as well as a mother of four awesome kids. What else do you do, Kelly?
Oh, man. Well, thanks for having me. It is sort of beautiful in Granville today, but it's like really white. And so everybody keeps sliding off the roads. So it's nice to be warm here with some tea. I am a mom of four kids, but one unique thing I always like to share is that I'm the oldest of nine kids. And so I'm like this perfectionist know-it-all that likes to tell people what to do. So watch out, guys.
That's why we invited you on, actually.
That's right.
We are desperately in need of help.
So. Someone needs to tell us what to do because we, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you, I love dad jokes and I've noticed a few on here, but my reaction to those is always an eye roll, and you can't eye roll on a podcast. So
that's true.
I'll have to
that's
come
true.
Up with something.
Yeah. We'll need to insert some sort of sound effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So speaking of snow, it is snowing. It's our first snow. And, I'm curious, Kelly, what do you like to do in the snow? What's your favorite winter activity?
Okay, does like drinking coffee and sitting by the fire count?
I think so.
That would be my favorite.
I think so, yeah.
That would be my favorite.
So.
If I had to choose something outside, my parents have a great sledding hill behind their house. And so hanging out there for a couple hours is a lot of fun. I usually just stand at the top of the hill because it's a lot of work to get back up. So we just need somebody to invent a, you know, one of those police
systems.
A tow rope.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That'd be helpful. I also really like sledding, actually. That's been a fun thing about having small kids is getting or having an excuse to go sledding again.
Right.
And I found out that I still like it just as much as I
yes.
ever did.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Sledding is up there with me, too. But I also like to do some pond hockey.
Oh, right. I did that a lot as a kid. That was fun.
Yes.
Are you a scorer or a defense person?
I'm all about defense.
Yeah.
Yep. Love to give somebody a good check. Knock them into a snowbank.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like your kids?
Oh, anybody.
So this week we're back in Acts after a week off, and on Sunday we read through chapter 9, which tells the story of Saul and how he experienced this vision of Christ on the road and then converted and became the Apostle Paul. So in chapter 8, after Stephen's death, there's this kind of breakout of persecution, and a bunch of Christians from Jerusalem end up spreading out into all these other cities and even other countries. And Saul, one of the Jewish leaders, is kind of leading the way, and he gets permission to start hunting these Christians in these other places. So he's on the road to Damascus when all of a sudden Jesus appears out of nowhere. And Jesus says, Saul, when you are persecuting my people, you're persecuting me. You're sinning against the God that you think you're serving. So Saul ends up blind, and then God appears to a Christian in Damascus named Ananias, and he has this vision of God speaking to him and saying, there's a man named Saul, I want you to go and pray for him. Now, Ananias is understandably skeptical because he knows who Saul is, and he knows what he's come to Damascus to do, but in the end, God says, look, he's had this vision, he's had this experience, and he wants to use Ananias to kind of finish Saul's conversion. So he goes and he prays over Saul, and Luke tells us that something like scales fall off of Saul's eyes. This spiritual blindness that he's experienced has ended, and he's filled with the Spirit, and he becomes a Christian and ends up starting a whole bunch of churches after trying to destroy the church. So one of the questions in this passage, I think, is why Saul? Why does Saul get this second chance after all the things that he's done and all the heartache that he's caused for the early church? So I'm curious what you guys would say if somebody said, why does Jesus bother appearing to Saul?
Kelly, you want to take first stab at this one?
Well, I told you earlier I had the bonus of going to Bible study this morning, so I have other opinions as well. And this is one of the questions we discussed, and we discovered that, you know, Saul wasn't doing things that he knew was wrong and did them anyway, but that he thoroughly believed in what he was doing. And so he was just protecting what he believed in. And we wondered, too, if it weren't Saul, if it was somebody more average, would the effect have been so profound on the whole nation and the whole New Testament. If it were somebody that wasn't that cruel to all the Christians out there.
Yeah, Saul is, I think, convicted. He's like a religious zealot, and he thinks that the church is a threat to pure religion in Israel. So in a way, you can say he's trying to serve God, even though he's, yeah, hurting the church and doing all this stuff. But there's some piece of his heart that's in line with God's will in some way, I think.
Yeah, and I think Paul's passion comes out from a point that he gets this big realization that he's been doing it wrong the whole time. And he feels like he's got to tell everybody, look, we're doing it wrong. You got to make it right. This is how to do it.
Yeah, he has a unique perspective, right? As somebody who didn't believe in Jesus and then did. And I think that's true if you guys know people who maybe became Christians later in life or definitely have a clear sense of this is when I didn't believe and this is when I did. Mm-hmm. Those people often have a very compelling perspective because they can speak clearly to what I used to think and what I think now. So, Kelly, I'm going to pick on you because you're our guest.
Excellent.
When you think about the story and you think about people in your own life or just out in the world that need to change or need to experience God's grace, when is it hardest for you to believe that that's possible?
You know, if you believe fully that the Bible says that nobody is irredeemable, is that a word, irredeemable?
It is now.
It is.
Yeah. Then if that truly is what you believe, then anybody can be changed. But yet, the people who change the most or have the most dramatic story are those that have to completely hit rock bottom. And they often have the most impact on the world because they've either been doing what is so terrible or they've been, in enough of a light that so many people have seen what they've done versus if it's just somebody that changes just a little bit, like I stopped speeding in my car, or whatever that was that changed you, or I changed my eating habits or my exercise habits, like anything can be changed. But the ones that are the most effective have the most dramatic story. So, and God doesn't, what's that big quote? God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Mm. So anybody can be used by him. And so to pick Saul to become Paul, to change the world. And I loved that quote that you used in your sermon about wiping out half the New Testament. What was that one?
Oh, yeah. Shane Claiborne has a quote that if we don't believe terrorists can be redeemed, then we should rip out half the New Testament because it was written by a terrorist.
Right, right.
Yeah. But what about for you personally, are there people or situations where you find yourself saying, okay, I can sit in church, sure, I believe this story happened, but then in real life, it's sure, like, can I believe that? Can I really believe that?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to think of a specific person, because then you say, sure, they can change. But if you think of things in like a general form and people are just giving titles like a pedophile or a child murderer or something, and you're like, well, sure, I believe they can change, but I'm not letting them, within 20 feet of my kids. So then where do you draw that line of you want to help and you have that faith, but you sort of don't believe it because you still got to protect your family or yourself. I don't know. So sometimes it is hard to put that in that perspective of these are actual, it's a person. This was Saul. Now he's Paul. And could you imagine yourself in that day being Ananias and I got to go pray for this person, with one of the most horrible people in the world.
Yeah. We kind of have categories or like tiers of sin.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you don't have to be Mother Teresa, but once you've crossed certain lines or committed certain acts, like then we are much more skeptical that anything could change.
Right.
Ben, you look thoughtful.
I think we're all born skeptics, right? We hear something or see something and we think, let's wait and see how this pans out, because you'd have to see a pattern over time of what's happening. And then I think eventually you'd come to believe it because you'd be seeing these things.
But is that because of the culture we live in? Is that, you know, something that just our area is that, or is that all of humanity? Is, you know, have things changed over the millennia?
I don't know if things really change. I think that's just part of being a human. I think you're born to be protective of what you already believe. Mm-hmm. And I think there's, they call it healthy skepticism. I guess that's what keeps us safe. We don't just believe anybody.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, and think about what we've experienced in our lifetime in this room, you know, old millennials / young Gen X. So we've grown up with a memory of Vietnam and Watergate, although we didn't live through it. You know, Bill Clinton lied under oath. 9/11 happened, and it seemed like the government wasn't able to protect us. You know, you had the Iraq War and that mess, and the recession and that mess, and like we've experienced all these situations where people in leadership have let us down or straight up lied. And that can't help but, I think, create some cynicism in our culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, in fact, you know, we see it right now with Kanye West.
Kanye West? He's spicy.
He's spicy. Kanye West. So Kanye West, yeah. I mean, if you look at all the Facebook posts about him, it's very dualistic. There's sides where people are like, oh, he's just doing it to get money again because he was broke and now this is an easy way. And there's other people who are like, no, this guy's been converted. You got to listen, you know. That's it? You're going to leave me hanging?
I was trying to think of something clever, yeah.
Some kind of spicy joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really true, though. People are skeptical. That's all I got. I don't know.
Okay, so why is it that we all try to do all the changing first ourselves, and then as a last resort, we go to God and pray? Is it just me?
No, that's a great observation. Question, observation. Yeah. Because that's really true. And one of the other, I think, myths of our culture and kind of the moment that we live in is this idea of like human ingenuity and progress. And so we're almost trained to think we can develop an app mm-hmm. to fix that, or mm-hmm. we can train our doctors to fix that, or, you know, we can invent something or whatever, instead of recognizing our total dependence. You know, because mm-hmm. one of the things about the story is that we're supposed to see ourselves in Saul, and we're supposed to identify with him and say, maybe we haven't done the things that he's done, but in the end, we are all spiritually blind. We have all been lost without God, and we are equally in need of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But to your point, yeah, we forget that, or we don't live like that's actually true.
We need to seek the light in the dark, right?
I see what you did there. I appreciate that. Yeah.
All right, so we're at the point in the podcast where we like to call it the cutting room floor, things that didn't make it into Sunday sermon. AJ, are there some things you'd like to share with us that you just didn't have time for on Sunday?
Yeah, there's a lot to this story. It's a famous story that I think a lot of people who have been in the church have read for a long time, so it's easy to gloss over some of the details. But I was thinking about all the other people around this story. Some of the other Jewish leaders, a couple chapters later, Herod is also participating in persecution. And then Luke says, God is angry with him. He gets struck dead and eaten by worms, which is kind of an amazing thing that I wish there was more detail about that. But again, to that question of like, why Paul? You know, why is Paul chosen? Or why does Jesus appear to him in this way when he doesn't necessarily do the same for others? And I don't have a great answer, but, you know, we maybe just assume that there's something in Paul's heart. There's some openness that, despite of the persecution, that maybe is there. But it's hard to make sense of that and to think of our own lives and say, why do some people experience rock bottom, like Kelly said, and it leads to change? And then other people just crash all the way through the floor, you know, for people who end up in rehab, sometimes that's successful and sometimes it goes nowhere, you know, and you just wonder why some people respond and others don't. So That's a light question, but any thoughts?
Well, I think it's interesting you said to look at the other people around it or to envision yourself back in the day, you know, when that truly happened. It's so easy, like you said, to gloss over some of these stories, especially if you were raised in a Christian home and you've read these and you hear them and you're like, you know, it happened. It was the Bible times or whatever. But if you stop and you really try and put yourself in those situations, and how would you react? What would you do? How, you know, would you, like you said, Ben, would you just let things play out because you have to see the change to believe it? Or would you jump on board? Or, and it could be as simple as my 8-year-old daughter was reading the Bible the other night and she goes, "So God did surgery on Adam to make Eve. Why didn't he just say, poof, there's Eve?" You know? So there's all these questions you could have of, we're just going to have to ask God someday when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes back maybe to that humility thing of just saying, we don't know. We are in the state of dependence and, you know, we can wrestle and ask these questions, but at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you just don't know.
You have to choose to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're both staring at me again.
You look like you have deep thoughts to share. Yeah.
I'm always thinking about something. Actually, on this one, I agree with Kelly on this one completely. I kind of had the same thoughts. So, yeah, let's wrap it up there.
Sounds good.
Okay. AJ, next week, what do we have to look forward to on Sunday morning?
Yeah, we're going to look at chapters 10 and 11, which tell the story of Peter and his vision, where God speaks to him and talks about how the Gentiles are included in the community of faith. So historically, there's this division between those who are Jewish and those who aren't. There's all kinds of laws and rules around that. And then God appears to Peter and says, these people, if they are open to Jesus, are going to have the same place in the community as anybody else. So there's a lot of interesting stuff there about the law versus, you know, loving people and what it means to be an inclusive community and a community where everybody has equal standing. Should be good.
All right. Well, that wraps things up here for us today on the 4130 show. I would like to thank our special guest, Kelly Vogel, for stopping in.
Thank you very much for having me.
And to anybody else out there, it's not so bad, is it?
It's not so bad. Nope, you guys aren't too intimidating.
Oh, thank you. Right.
Yeah, we didn't wear sweaters today, but we've been told we sound like we're wearing sweaters when we do this.
You know, somebody did say if we didn't know who you were, you'd sound like old men.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be here then. I'll spice things up a little.
Sure. I'll take it, yeah.
Wise old men?
Yeah, exactly.
Wearing exactly. sweaters.
Exactly.
All right. Well, if you'd like to listen more, check us out on our website, southgranvillechurch.org/podcast. There you can also find links to listen on your favorite player. We're on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, probably a few more.
Yeah, and it helps us out if you write a review on the player of your choice, or if you like the podcast, you know of people who are looking for a church home or maybe just interested in spiritual topics, share an episode with them, post it on Facebook, and help us spread the word about this beautiful church. That's all we got for this week. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Grandma Sandy, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
What do you call a snowman having a temper tantrum?
I don't know.
A meltdown.
Ooh, that's good.